Welcome to Tall, Dark, and Fictional, a podcast about romance fiction by romance writers. I'm Kat Wynn, and today I have a return guest. Michaela, please introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Michaela. I am the worst thing that has ever happened to this podcast. Thank you so much for not turning it off immediately when you realize that I'm here. It's also my birthday. I claim to not care about my birthday, but I tell everyone. I told three Uber drivers, one person selling me sushi, and this was yesterday, but it's still the 18th in America, so happy birthday to the birthday baby.
Happy birthday to Michaela. Everybody, wish Michaela well. Make sure to slide into her DMs. She likes that. And, you know, post all kinds of nice things, because everybody likes a little celebration on their birthday. And, you know, your birthday is as long as you want it to be in your heart.
Every day is my birthday.
So Michaela's back today, and I think she wanted to come back. It is of my personal opinion.
I didn't want to let Kat down. Okay, let me just look at this. She tries, and she's like, she's not going to clap back. I'm going to clap back. So SJ is sick because she has no immune system, because she stays indoors like all writers do.
Same, and yep.
Exactly, big facts. Like, I'm just waiting for Kat to be waylaid by something for me to be here with SJ instead.
It has happened already many times this year.
Well, that was like when I was like, is she okay? Like, and then SJ had to like text your actual phone because you were that unwell. Remember that? That was like, I was like, yeah. Oh my God.
I'm sorry to everybody.
Getting the in memoriam posts like ready in my head. Anyway. So, and then Kat messages me yesterday at 3 a.m., of course, because that's Prozac time. We know this. And she's like, I know that it's your birthday. Like, I'm so sorry, but SJ's still sick. Would you mind like coming on the pod? And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm doing things. And then I have like this real guilt because I couldn't help her. Because I have a lot of trouble asking for help myself. So like when I ask people for help, it means that like I'm close to death and I need help. So then I just associated that. And then this morning I was like, Kat, do you need help? She's like, oh no, you don't have to. Like, and I'm like, but like, do you need me to? Like, cause she was like committed to the 5 days a week. And I was like, nah. So here I am again, back again, TikTok sound.
Cause we're so different in this way, because I will never feel guilt about saying no to anything ever. I am a no person. Like, if I don't want to do it, I'm not like, but also you always know if I'm doing something, you always know I really want to be there. You know what I mean? That's like the Kat Wynn guarantee. But I wasn't trying to make you feel bad or like you should come back on or that you had to like make up for something. I just thought it was funny that at like 4 a.m. your time, you were like, hey, do you need me to come on a podcast today? And then I was like, no, like, unless you want to do that. Unless that's something you like really want to do. But then, and I forgot about it until like several hours later, you literally sent me the exact same voice message, like word for word. And then I'm like, well, are you hinting to me that you want to come on? Like, because at that point, I'm just putting context clues together. You know what I mean?
Mm. A bitch was
so I was like, and if somebody comes up to me and says something twice like that, then I'm like, all right, well, we'll just do it.
Well, and why can't someone see my, like, why does my husband not see my TikToks and be like, wow, does she want her shelves rearranged by me? Even though I keep trying to gaslight him into it.
You're not being very effective with the gaslighting.
I'm obviously not good at it.
Have you tried changing the temperature just a little bit in your house every day until it's freezing cold? And then he goes, isn't it cold in here? And every day you say no.
Do you understand that Australians don't all have like central air? Like
I'm referring to the original movie Gaslight.
Oh, who the fuck's seen that? Let us know. Slide into the DMs and tell me if you've seen Gaslight.
To be clear, I haven't seen it. I just read the wiki. Like an American. So with that, thank you for coming on again. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So we real quick came up with something to talk about. And because we are a podcast that talks about romance and love, and because we do not center the male gaze, and because we are counterculture and we value relationships, we're going to start this podcast a little different. We're actually going to answer a few questions. It's from a New York Times article. Many of you probably know it, the 36 questions that lead to love. So Michaela and I are going to answer a few of these and see if it leads us to love.
We already do love each other. I think this is cheating, but that's okay.
Well, you know what? I make the rules. Okay. All right. Well, we already answered one. Okay. I'm just going to let you know. One of the questions is, would you like to be famous? In what way? But we've already talked about that ad nauseum. So I'm going to skip that one. Okay. Here is the question I want to start with. When did you last sing to yourself or to someone else?
Oh my, every day. I don't think you understand, like, the life is a performance. I did it yesterday too. Yeah. Didn't I do it to you? I do it every time I send you a voice note. So it,
probably, yeah.
When I'm like, I'm going to the toilet and I'll see you in 10. I literally, everything is a performance. And then my kids have actually gotten this now too, because when we dropped, I'm going to come back from the microphone because it's going to get loud, guys. I'm just as a warning. And like, if someone drops something on the ground and we go, whoa, that's like literally like a high operatic sound. And then
I'm hearing this kids, is yeah. the opposite of generational trauma.
Yeah. Well, like they do stuff. And my daughter's friend was like, I did it at home because he was hanging out with us. And he was like, oh my God, Winter does that at school when she drops something.
She is her daughter's mother, her mother's yeah, daughter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, she's maybe she is my mother come back to life, even though my mother has not departed this mortal coil yet. That's still just hanging in there.
But what does it bring you joy? Is that really what it is? Or is it just purely performance? Or does performance bring you joy?
Performance brings me joy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think as well, like, that. You know, being younger, like my sister's 10 years older than me. And I got a phone call from her dad yesterday that was truly hilarious. Like, we'll talk about that later because you're going to fucking love it. We have different dads, in case you guys couldn't tell. And yeah, like I would just live in my own head a lot. Like I said, what did I say to Kat the other day? I was like, first and foremost, I am that bitch. Second of all, I'm a dreamer.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true.
Do you sing to yourself? When was the last time you sang to yourself?
I sing to myself literally all day long. So I kind of have like three modes. One, singing to my dogs. Two, singing to myself in my house while dancing. Three, singing with my full chest in the car by myself.
Oh, I love that.
So, yeah. So those are like three. And there's something you should know about me. And I don't know if this is like related to my neurodivergence, but I learn lyrics. Like I'm like a savant when it comes to learning lyrics. Like, I mean, my mind is a steel trap. And every time, like maybe I don't know as much as I did before, but like growing up, I listened to a lot of music. I was like a musical person. I am a classically trained pianist. And so I was very, very like kind of into all of that. But when whenever like a song comes on the radio, I will automatically start singing and I will just like start picking up on the lyrics and I'll know it. And my husband's always like, how do you know literally every song? And it's just one of those, I think it's probably mental illness, honestly. Yeah. one of the things I do love is to sing to my dogs, and I'm not a good singer. That's not like where my musical talents lie, but I'm going to give you a little taste of a song that I sing all the time to my dog, Griff. It goes, Griffy, I love you, Griffy, you're perfect. You are my best friend.
Oh,
which is so sad.
No, it's not. That makes me so happy. That's like the positive affirmations. No, I
sing it to him all the time.
I love that. Like, my daughter, like I sing to my daughter, like things like that. Like, I think that children and dogs are like mutually exclusive. Like, you love them
in that they're both good.
Exactly, exactly. And that's like, just I would sing them the silliest fucking songs. Like, they just loved it. Like, Winter's Bethany. You are the cutest. You are the prettiest baby that I have ever seen. So yeah, like just real, like, you know, kind of, it's fun. Singing's the best. Oh, I love this quiz already.
Okay, next, let's do the next
I'm in
one.
Love with you.
Oh my God. Name three things you and your partner appear to have in common.
Like you and me, or?
I think we mean romantic partner here.
Okay, romantic partner. Ooh. Silence.
This one all of a sudden just takes you out.
I think that like a lot of our strengths sort of lie in our differences, but I would say that we're both like really loyal, great communicators, both of us. I mean, we can just talk about things. Faithful is the wrong word. Like, loyalty sort of kind of comes into that, but it's like, the communication.
Honest?
We're both honest, but I think that that's sort of like, I tie that in with the communication. So it's sort of, you know, like we can have that kind of dialogue with one another. And I would say he's a hard worker.
Yeah. But do you share that quality?
Nah.
Okay. I'll answer the question too. Yep. Are you done?
Yeah. Do you want me to ask it of you? What do you and Max, what are three things that you and Max share together?
So I actually think that we have basically all our core values are the same. So personalities and like what we enjoy doing all very different. Like Max has not read a fiction book in like 20 years. You know what I mean? But I think we both really value, I'm trying to think of the word comfort. I think we really value comfort. Like neither of us are trying to like run after thrill. thrills. We're not thrill seekers. We're really about being like kind of together and like secure together. I also think we both really value analysis, which sounds weird, but like he's an attorney, I'm a writer. We both spend a lot of time kind of dissecting the framework and structures of our lives. Yeah. Both of us do, but in very different ways. And it's funny because when we argue, it is wild. I would say I'm a better arguer by far, because here's why. Here's what's different in our arguments. He argues like a lawyer. So he's like, I'm going to argue to win. And all lawyers argue dirty. All of them.
Yeah.
I argue like a writer. And I'm like, I argue for clarity. I'm trying to give you clarity. So I argue for the truth. It's a very different way to argue. Oh. But we both come with a lot of analysis. And then I think the other thing, I think both of us really value kindness and generosity towards people.
I
think that really matters. And I think he's a super, super generous person and just really kind. Am I being too sappy?
I love it. I think like it's really nice to sort of, you know, remember these things, especially when we've got like the culture of like, I don't know, the way that women and mothers, especially like from what I see, the portrayal of them is like, oh, my husband does nothing. And, you know, I'm a wine mom and stuff like things like that. So
I'm a functioning alcoholic. LOL.
Yeah.
Let me buy some merch that reflects that.
Straight up, my favorite coffee cup that like I have, it's just like the perfect fucking size for the coffee that I have in the morning. It's from the brand Before You Speak, but then on the other side it says breakfast wine, and I'm like, why the fuck does this exist? Like, so every day when Connor washes my cup, he like tries to scrub it, and he's like, I just hate it. Like, breakfast wine, no, bitch, like fucking take an antidepressant like a grown-up.
I mean, how about have a nice breakfast muesli, how about that instead?
All right, you are Theodore in this moment.
Okay. Next question. Oh, is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time, and why haven't you done it?
I hate this because you know what I'm going to say, and that's going to be writing.
Yes.
Yes, I did. I used to write. Time. Well, yeah, but I think that like I'm not at a point in my creative journey where I can separate myself from what I want to create. Like, the characters haven't come to me yet. They're storylines, but I feel like it would just be myself. Does that make sense? Like, I know that, you know,
authors
talk about the muse and like they see their characters and stuff. And I feel like the threads that I've sort of got like out in the universe, it's just, they're coming to me. And I'm like, I just couldn't write it well if I was trying to write myself as the character. So that's probably it. Writing.
It's too close. It's too close when you write yourself. Yeah.
What's one thing that you would like to do?
So writing would have been my thing, I would say, like that I hadn't done for a really long time because I had like really cut the creative side off of myself for like years and years and years, which basically feels like soul death. Like I was living soul death. But now, and the reason why I did it, because the question was like, why haven't you done it yet? And for a long time I hadn't, but the reason why I suddenly did start writing is because, you know, after like years and years of horrible trauma, and, like just trauma after trauma after trauma, I think it took me a while to recover. And then maybe just a few years ago, I was finally in a place where I had recovered enough that I was able to access that part of myself again. I will say this, and I think this is true of you all. Also, and like certain people, this is true of, but I don't see it with everybody. Some adults like really maintain their like sense of playfulness and like their attachment to like their childlike nature. And for whatever reason, I never lost mine. Like, I don't know how I managed that, but I think you have
been holding on for dear life.
It's the only thing I had. Just like, you will not fucking leave me. We will light these Christmas lights.
What was the thing? It's like that, you know, kind of that tweet. It's like, oh, I finally healed my inner child and now I've got to heal my fucking inner teenager.
That's true. But my inner teen self was actually like my inner teen is actually like very creative, because that was like when I really came into my creativity, because that was when the internet was like really on the rise, because I'm old.
Yeah.
And it was like so the internet did save me, I'll say that. I think that's how I held on to it. I guess the only thing I would ever really like to do beyond this is become really fluent in another language.
That'll be a good one.
Max is fluent in German.
Of course he is.
Fun fact.
Is there anything that he's not good at? Arguing.
Yeah, communicating. He's not good at communicating. Okay. Okay. So let's get into the romance. You ready for the game?
Okay, yeah.
Potion. That was fun. That was great.
That was good.
It's a lot more serious than we usually are. All right. So we are going to, oh my God. So what we're going to do is play the game that SJ and I played a couple days ago called the Romance Cover Match. So Michaela and I have both sent each other three books, covers, and I assume you haven't read the books I've sent you, right?
No.
Okay. And I have not read
what you've actually, no, maybe I have. I've read maybe one book from the second one. We'll get to that.
Okay. But not what I, oh, should I send you a different one?
No, because I don't know. Okay. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just happy to be here.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. So for those of you who don't remember, here are the rules of the game. We each choose three books that we know the other hasn't read. And then from cover alone, we guess the subgenre, the heat level, the tropes, and if there is or is not a kink and what that kink might be in the book. So we're really here to ask the question, what do romance novel covers really tell us about the book? Do you want me to go first and guess your books, or would you like to try
first? You go first, because I'm trying.
Okay. And so first I'll describe the cover, mm-hmm. and then I'll give all my guesses, and then you can tell me what's right or what's wrong. So, okay. This cover is called Convergence, the Intersolar Union series by Etta Pierce. It is a very galactic looking cover, but it also has like aqua vibes. Here's what I'm seeing. It's like all very blue and like kind of like starlight on it. And there's a woman's face that's looking right at us. And she has kind of like purple blue eyes. And then behind her, she's kind of faded into the back of what looks like a scaled man's body. And he is blue also. And then it looks like there's some kind of planet or like a moon like even further behind them. So that's kind of what we're looking at. Okay. Subgenre. So this is a sci-fi romance, I assume, something of the nature. I'm going to guess that there is some kind of alien attack or some kind of like virus that has like gotten loose within this community. I'm going to guess that the heat level on this, I'm going to say, is not super spicy. I think it's probably like on a scale of 1 to 5, I'll give it a 2.5. I'm going to say the tropes are... What if I said grumpy sunshine? How funny would that be? What I'm looking at. I'm going to go trope. I'm looking up a few tropes. Give me a second, because I always forget like every single trope as soon as we get on here. Okay. So it's definitely going to be like an opposites attract, maybe even like a mortal danger enemy versus like a predator prey type situation. And then I'm also going to say, though, they're like stuck together because of the word convergence. It's like a forced proximity on some kind of planet. And for kinks, I'm going to say there is like some kind of thing with his body. He has like a double dick or something, or some kind of weird dick. So I'll just call that a kink. What did I get right and wrong? Let's see.
Okay. Well, not a lot, right?
It's a romance, right?
It is a romance. Yeah. So okay. He essentially steals a police behavioral analyst. I was going to say.
Wait, so is this sci-fi?
It's sci-fi, sort of.
Okay.
I think sci-fi romance. This was when I was on my Ice Planet Barbarians kick. I was like, I need more.
That's fair. That's fair.
So he steals her. That's sort of like a fated mate scenario as well. He kind of goes feral. The convergence is like when he finds his perfect mate.
Oh, so it's like a resonance.
Yes. He's also like you know, from the richest family in the galaxy, but he steals her and he's trying to just like, it's basically these other slavers are trying to like steal all of these.
See, I said predator prey.
Well, you know, but no, he's like, he's her friend, like her colleague. It's like a co-worker romance.
Oh, a workplace. I didn't guess that. Okay. Would you say is the heat level on this?
I would say it's like, yeah, like a 4.5. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. Yeah. There's like this scene on a picnic table where they're like, there's like this planet and he's got like these like detachable mandibles and it gets, and like he like shoots like shit across the room. Yeah. It's crazy.
Okay. That does sound interesting.
Yeah, sign me up. She says, we'll make sure all the things are popped into the story so you guys can read these books.
So I was kind of like on the kinks side. I was kind of right. because it's some kind of like weird part he has that's being utilized.
Yeah, he's like in heat.
For sexual purposes.
Love that.
I love that about romance writers. I love that about us. Okay. Do you want to go back and forth or should I do the other two?
We'll go back and forth. Okay. So the first one I've got here is Getaway Girl by Tessa Bailey. We have got a girl who has listened to some Taylor Swift because she's wearing sunglasses and red lipstick.
Yes.
In her, like the reflection of her glasses, they don't look like actual Ray-Ban Wayfarers. They look like imitation ones that I would find at a gas station.
They are cute though. I would wear them.
I actually lost my pair of Ray-Bans and I've never recovered 13 years later. In the reflection, we've got like the bell of a church, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Getaway Girl is written in red lipstick. That's the title of the book. So this could be anything. Is she doing like a cute look? She's doing that thing with her tongue. You know, when you kind of like bite your tongue with your two top teeth.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I don't like about this cover is what's up with the teeth? It's like looking into a black hole. I'm like, what is happening here? It looks so gross.
Well, the black hole, maybe there's anal in this book. Is that like one of the...
Okay. So
is anal a kink though? Anal's just like, it's on the menu. Like, it's
not really... We literally had this question. Oh my God, we literally had this conversation when we did this episode last. I asked the same question. I was like, is anal is not even a kink, but we'll just call it one because it's always a thing in romance. But okay. Subgenre. What subgenre do you think it is?
Well, I think that she's like run away from something. So maybe like not even romantic suspense. Like maybe she's just like on the lam sort of thing. I do have a prediction about all of these books though. Like my guess is that they have something to do with the Carolinas because that's like Kat's trademark. Am I close? Okay. I feel like
I won't tell you till you're done.
Okay.
But so you didn't guess the subgenre, just FYI, because you don't answer questions. But
I don't. It's a non-answer. People to make up their own minds.
You said not romantic suspense, but do you think that's what it is?
There could be, well, she's trying to get away from something. Is she not? Okay. Is she a runaway bride?
I'm not telling you. You gotta guess. You gotta guess first.
Yeah, see, I like the truth to come out. Look, I don't know. I'm not very good at this game, but I was.
No, you're
I
great.
I think I was pretty good at describing that cover.
You did a great job.
Does she fuck a priest? Okay. No, I feel like no. I'm taking that back because I feel like if she fucked a priest, we would see that with Priest by Sierra Simone.
Yeah. So, wait. Okay. So, what do you think the heat level is on this book?
Oh, it's Tessa Bailey. It's through the roof. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the guy's getting his asshole eaten in front of that church or something. I'd say 5.
Okay. 5. Okay. Any tropes you want to throw out there?
Oh, look, maybe she's like a bad girl.
Okay. So like bad girl, good guy. Yeah.
Okay. That's my guess. All right.
Okay. And then kinks, do you just want to stick with what you said before?
Yeah. I'm the worst person to ask about kinks. Nothing's a kink if you're both consenting. Do you know what I mean? Like it's just something you do.
I think we're just, we need a better word than kink. I'm like, what's the sexual thrust of the novel? Like that's such a dumb way to say it. I would just say kink for shorthand. Sorry, I'm not trying to offend the kink community. Just for whatever. Things, something specific somebody might like sexually. I'm going to give you the answers to how you did. You actually did really well for the most part. Except this is more like a rom-com, not a suspense. But I can see where you got that from. I think that the heat level is probably like a 4 out of 5. You were right. She's a bad girl. It's like bad girl, good guy. You were also right. This is in Charleston, South Carolina. That's where this book takes place. You totally picked that. That's so smart. And then the thing you were right about most, which I can't believe, is that she eat his ass in this book.
I'm just fucking like the psychic abilities of me are just through the fucking roof.
You said you were bad. You did great.
No, but like these things come to me. Like my husband said something. Like he referred to someone by like a title, and I was like, oh, but his real name's like Steve. And he had this look that I just like punched him in the dick. He's like, his name is Steve. I was like, look, I cannot help the things that come to me.
Sometimes we are one with the universe.
Yeah, one with my romance novel. So she eats his ass. There we go. Boom. Love that.
Okay, spoiler, guys. All right. Let me do the next one you sent me. Okay. This is a white cover. The title is Through My Window by Ariana Godoy. Godoy? How do you say that name? Godoy? Yeah. Oh, apparently it is coming to Netflix. So the picture is, it's like, oh, okay. It's a white background, but it's really like a woman kind of like, it kind of looks like a sheet, but also it could be like a curtain that she's like under. It's a woman's face. Her face is half covered with her hair. She's like kind of looking down, and then through my window is written in like a pinkish red. It's a really beautiful cover, I have to say. I think it's really beautiful. Okay. Subgenre. This looks like a stalker romance to me. The fuck? And why is this coming to Netflix? Okay. Heat level. I'm going to say it's, so the tag on it says, what burns bright burns fast. I guess I'm going to say this is a fast burn romance. And it's like, there's some kind of like Christian, some kind of like Heather's style JD, like going to blow up the school kind of situation. did I rank the heats? What did I say? Let's just say like a 3 out of 5. Is that what I said? I don't remember. And trope. Okay, so yeah, I'm gonna go like bully kind of trope. I'm gonna go, she's like a loner girl. I'm gonna go with that. And I'm gonna go with, what if I say grumpy sunshine? It would be so inappropriate. I'm gonna go with some kind of forced proximity. And then kink is gonna be like some BDSM kink. Okay. Something like that. Not okay. Specific.
This is truly one of the best worst books that I have ever read in my whole life. Mainly because it is a Netflix movie now. And what Kat didn't see is the W down the bottom. This started life as a Wattpad book.
Oh, shit. I don't recognize. I did not recognize that W as Wattpad because I don't really know the logo.
The real
but
ones
I
will always recognize.
I know what it is. Yeah.
So this is a boy next door romance, and it's about a girl named Raquel. And she is like stalking the fuck out of this guy, Aries. Aries is so rich. He's the most popular boy in school.
Okay. Now this author's name is Ariana. So is Aries based off her?
I hope so, because, well, okay, so Aries is the middle brother of, like, you know, this most affluent family, and he has an older brother named Artemis, which I hate.
Yeah, this sounds like Twilight fanfic, right off the bat.
It is so good. You need to watch this movie, because this is, like, the movie is better than the book, admittedly. The book is not that spicy. You were correct on that. Okay. And I would say that it is like a stalker romance. Like, she's stalking him. She's in love with him.
Yeah.
Like, her password is literally, like, Aries forever. And he confronts her because she like is everywhere. She'll follow him to his fucking football games, and he like pops up. He's like, "What are you doing following me?" She's like, "I'm in love with you, and I'm gonna make you fall in love with me." And he's just like, "What the fuck?
Shit!"
It's elite level. But in the movie, I do believe that she eats his ass. We just don't see it. Like, it's a cutaway. It's There is
I'm
so
sorry,
much off.
How is this a theme in the books that we chose?
I don't know. As long as you clean the area, it's all good, guys. Like, but still, this is the worst movie you'll ever see. Please watch it. Let me know. Voice note me your entire experience. I don't care if I get 3,000 voice notes from you. I want you watching this movie. I want it back in the top 10 on Netflix. And I know that the people of Tall, Dark, and Fictional can do this for us.
Okay. I think also this woman on the cover does look like Victoria Pendretti, but I don't think it's her. Or is it Pendretti? Whoever played Love on You.
Oh, this is a stock image, darling.
Okay, I wasn't sure, but it does look just like her. Okay, next. Okay. That was insane.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm missing. It's only getting better. Wait till you see my next selection. Okay, so we've got Managed by Kristen Callahan. Now, I actually have read the first book in this series. I checked. And it's
so you do know some stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know about this character. I kind of remember this character. I remember that I actually didn't read this book because I wasn't interested in this character. So I went on this kick, like it was maybe 5 years ago, of just only reading rock star romances and then like being surprised by like literally everything that happened. And then this book is about their manager and they meet on an aeroplane.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I read.
You do know a lot. Okay. Okay. So
let me guess what's in it.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you. Okay. So subgenre we know is rock star. You already knew that. Heat level.
I'm pretty sure it's kinky because it's Kristen Callahan. Like she always brings the heat, I'm pretty sure.
Out of five.
4.5.
Okay.
Anything with a dick going into a vagina, butthole, mouth, immediate 5. Anything. I don't care. If it's on page, it's a 5, okay?
Really? Everything? No.
Well, yeah. Sex is still taboo for a lot of people.
Yeah, but not on our scale. This is our scale, not everybody else's scale. Exactly. This is a relative scale. So what are the tropes?
I think he's like an asshole. He's grumpy. She might be Sunshine. I don't know. Maybe like, I can't even remember. Like, is he her boss or something? Like, maybe he's...
Yeah, like workplace, are you going to say?
Pardon?
Are you suggesting it's a workplace?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, how does she fucking start touring with a band? Like, you know what I mean?
What about kinks?
Kinks. I don't know, but I do hope that they had sex in that airplane bathroom, as disgusting as that is.
Okay.
So, what am I writing?
Again, not an answer, but okay. Alexa, I accept this from you. Okay, let me tell you. So, yes, you were correct about the airplane, and you were correct about grumpy Sunshine. Absolutely a grumpy Sunshine type situation. The heat level, I just don't think it's very spicy. Like, it's a really slow burn. Oh, okay. So, I would. I know that people might disagree with me.
Yep.
I know my chair does that too. It's not, you can really pick it up with the mic too. So like beautiful. You can really hear it in my, not yours, but mine. I think it's like a 3 out of 5, 2.5 out of 5, just because there's really not that much, but like, it's really well done. Like, I think she did a great job, but it's not, but she usually is like a little dirtier, I think. Kinks, which you didn't guess. So there is one thing, and there is like an underwear, dirty underwear situation. Spoiler. Yeah.
Ooh, I got to read this book.
Which, her, you know what, dirty, I, underwear? Why I like,
huh? Her dirty underwear? Were they hers or his?
Nobody wants his.
What? I don't know. Dirty this underwear. Is, you know, we're getting progressive in a straight romance.
I think that it's, I think it works because he is grumpy, but he's also straight laced.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, that kind of thing. Also, you did say workplace. It is kind of a workplace. So she is a photographer on tour with the band that he manages. So yeah, it is kind of workplace, I'd say. Yeah, I liked that one a lot. I thought, I mean, I also love the cover. Yeah. I really do. I don't know.
It's like a guy staring out. I love the colors. Like, it kind of goes into that pink and the purple and like, I don't
know.
It's
like an Outrun wash on it, but it's also a silhouette, and it has like a black and white feel. I love a man silhouette. Okay. You're good at this. All right. Next book is called My Billionaire Boss is a Vampire. Really giving me a lot to work with that title. And it's by Kate McDerris. And let me just describe it to you. So it's a black and white cover. It's a man. He's not shirtless, but he is in an undone kind of tuxedo situation sitting.
He's rumpled.
His head is cut off, as it should be. But there's like a woman holding his neck. So that does give me very vampire, right? Like holding onto his neck like that. And it's a very like kind of sexual pose. And then did I say My Billionaire Boss is a Vampire? Did I get the whole title? So Vampire is, you know, written in red, and it looks like kind of drippy blood. And okay, so I'm gonna guess this is a billionaire paranormal vampire romance.
That's the wow genre. How do we do that?
Heat level, I'm gonna say it's a 4 out of 5. I'm gonna say that it's pretty spicy. I'm gonna say there's some blood play here. I'm just gonna go out on a big limb. Or literally a limb. And then let's see, tropes. So we have workplace. I'm going to say we're going to have like a kind of like daddy dom situation. Although, you know, what's funny about the cover is that it really looks like she's in like a dominant position in the cover, which is interesting because he is supposed to be the vampire, but she's got him by the neck. So that's interesting. That's an interesting bit of imagery there. I'm going to say that she is also she's not a vampire, but she's a vamp. I'm going to say that for a trope. She's a vamp. Okay. For kinks, I'll go blood play. I'll go, let's say there's some tying up, maybe a little like kidnapping. That's what I'm going to say. Those are my guesses. How did I do?
Okay. Well, you are amazing. Your power of observation and elimination is phenomenal. This is about Alice. Alice is Steric, which always makes me laugh because it's like Styles and Derek from Teen Wolf. Did you ever watch that show?
No, I didn't.
Well, you missed out because
I know it has a whole following.
I am not obsessed with that show. And this is the content warning list. It is
it's a little long. Oh, it's just got a few things. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll let you know. So we've got 69, anal, bathtub sex, being watched, observed during intercourse, biting teeth, fangs, blood and drinking, bondage, restraint, demon, desperation, dirty talk, fingering. Now, the number one thing that stands out for me from this book is a novella. So it's really short. It's
a novella.
It's a novella. And the best part is There's fisting.
Nope. That's a no for me. Fisting. I can't. That's my line.
Then we have decapitation. That's also an important part of it.
Okay.
A hand also necklace. A We've got magic, marathon, multiple orgasms. And then there's actually a male-female-male scene.
Okay.
Orgasm Fun. Denial.
Yes.
Power play, spanking, of course.
I did kind of get a lot of this. You did amazing. Like, feeling
you're doing amazing, this. Sweetie. So that was everything that we have from that book. Okay. And how many? I don't know how many. It's like 60 something pages.
Oh my god.
Kate McDarris like goes from like she just fucking brings you there. Like it's erotica.
Erotica. Okay. Yeah. So the cover says a lot. I actually think the cover's great. I love like her hand on his neck like that. Very sexy. All right. Last one. Now for something completely different.
We'll pull it back a little. Okay. So this is one from Kat. And it's called Girl Gone Viral.
Yeah.
By Alicia Ray.
I think it's Rye. Is it Rye?
Rye.
I'm not sure. I should know. Now, when you said it that way, suddenly I didn't know. But okay. We know who it is. We all know who she is.
Well, this is like when people would pronounce Leigh Bardugo as Leigh Bardugo. And I'm...
Yes, just like that.
You know, just the way we think it's said, guys. So this Girl Gone Viral, we've got a really cute little cartoon cover. So that immediately makes me think that it's going to be a little bit more racy than it was. Got a gorgeous couple down the bottom. She's wearing like a cap. So maybe she's famous.
Mm-hmm.
Is she famous? I'm not answering yet.
I'm just saying yes. I hear you.
The guy, also a little cutie. He looks like a little businessman. She sort of looks like she's come out of a Pilates class. And there is 177,000 likes on a photo. Maybe he's a celebrity and she has gotten into a situation with him.
Okay. What do you think the heat level is on this?
Like a 3.
Okay. And any kind of kinks or anything? Or no, what, I mean, specifically any tropes?
Yeah, like I think famous. Famous is probably a trope. There'll be like a third act breakup that could have been solved with like a conversation.
Any kinks?
No, I don't think there's any kinks in there.
Okay.
How'd I do?
All right. Yeah, you actually had some good observations here. So Girl Gone Viral, it's not a rom-com. It's just a contemporary, but okay. You're right. There is like a fame aspect to this. So the woman in the story, I believe she used to be a model. So she used to be kind of famous. Now the guy is her bodyguard. So it's a bodyguard trope.
Ooh, yes.
And she does go viral for like a picture. And you're right. Like she's wearing the baseball cap because it's kind of like hiding in, you know, when you're a well-known person or someone who's recognized. And she has social anxiety now, or like a lot of anxiety about that. So her bodyguard's like always, he's always with her, making sure she's okay if she goes in public. So that's part of the story. I don't think it wasn't that spicy. Like it was, like obviously, like there was definitely like heat to this, but compared to the other stuff we're talking about, I would say like 2.5, right? So it's not the main pull of the story. And then I don't think there's any kinks in this either. I mean, I would say like the characters are not virgins, but they're kind of like close to it. They're like inexperienced, strangely. So there is kind of that. So there's kind of like a sweetness to it. But yeah, very cute book. Very well written. Very different than the novella you pulled out.
That's going on my TBR.
Yeah. Yeah.
The endless pile of the books that keep landing on my doorstep.
Just call it what it is. A graveyard.
A graveyard. Yes, essentially.
So that's the romance cover match game. How do you feel?
I feel like I have heard a lot about ass eating in the past half hour.
More than most people talk about it in 30 minutes, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, we're for the people. Like, be comfortable. Talk about it. Why not? Get it out. Do you.
I'm also
now thinking about, like, what constitutes a kink.
I know.
You know, I get it. But it's so subjective. It's like rating a book, rating spice levels. Like, because yes. A lot of people are like, oh, choking. I'm like, oh, choking. That's just, like, normal, right?
See, I would say that's a kink.
Oh. Once again, so happy my father can't offer write a podcast. So that's good, basically.
Yeah, and I should say we're just like using that word loosely, I think, just to kind of make the point, like that, so people generally understand what we're talking about.
Everything is loose. Like we are just loose at the moment. Like
we're a little loose. You know, we're doing this last minute. And this is what I'll say to kind of like close us up. So I, like Michaela said, she offered to help me make sure that we reached our goal to post 5 episodes a week for every weekday of the rest in November, which is has been really hard, let me just tell you. So we are going to post this tonight so that I don't miss today. I don't miss this day, the day that is still your birthday in America. And it's going to go up at a different time. So I'm curious who, if people will see it or not. So this one might just be lost to the annals of time, okay. But maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what people are up to on Friday nights. I mean,
I don't want to know
more than this.
It's about at 8:30.
The life, living the life.
It's a hard one.
It is a hard one. Yeah. So that was fun. So we're going to put this up. Michaela, do you have any closing words that you'd like to say to the listeners?
Oh, SJ, get better soon, babe. I can't do this another day.
She's lying. She loves it here. She loves it. All right. Stressful. All right. We'll
get it. Like, how did it go? I was like, our reputations are finished. Gone.
Please.
I'm going to put that reel up where it's just like, when we get back to New York, contact Leslie. Fuck? You guys will see it.
The, Follow me. Yeah. Okay. Well, where can we find you, Michaela, if we want to find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter. Why do I always say Twitter? Start again.
Everybody does.
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and in your dad's bed.
Oh.
That one was and you can find. She's still listening.
What would you say?
SJ's not listening to this.
She's like, SJ's not gonna listen to this. No. SJ, if you're listening, what's up? We missed you. And I'm Kat. You can find me on most places at Kat Wynn Author. You can also get my two holiday novellas, which have officially been sent. They will be sent out as ARCs soon, which means I actually finished them. Holiday Games and Hotel Games. If you like super steamy but funny, snowed in forced proximity style, quick little reads. You can also get my debut novel Partner Track by me, Kat Wynn. And if you like us and you like this podcast, you can catch us at Tall, Dark, and Fictional. That's Tall, Dark, Fictional on Instagram and TDF Pod on Twitter and TikTok. Thank you, Michaela, for joining me once again.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a life. It's been a life.
They like me. They really like me.
And to the listener, as always, thanks for coming. And we did it. We did it, babes. We did it.
I remember something so bright then. I was really trying not to cry then. I was really hugging you goodbye then. You can have my MP3 when I'm dead. Play the shit and listen to what I said.